It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Big chopper. And that's the ball game. Well, the horse does it. The Giants needed a win to make this a 5-1 homestand and to split this short two-game series and to send this team off on the road with a win.
Troy Kuiper on a call. NBC Sports Bay Area. Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. Look, man. 5-1 homestand. You beat the A's. Webb goes 9, shutout, complete game shutout. He offsets Ross Stripling, who pitched like it was Game 7 of the World Series. You know he wanted that one. And the Giants get a 1-0 victory. They scored 3 runs in 2 games, but you know what? They got a win yesterday, and I'm going to try my hardest this morning to keep it positive. Keep it positive. They get a day off. We get a day off. They're off to Cincinnati, and we'll see what happens the rest of the way.
On to Cincinnati?
On to Cincinnati, baby. I mean, you had to have that one. They got it. I mean, 1-0. And you know what? It's Logan Webb. He needed that one.
He really did. One of his best starts in clearly about a month. And you can make the argument, because I put the postseason starts to the side. And I know he had a couple really big ones down the stretch in 2021. But in terms of just stuff, I thought it was maybe, you know, top 3 regular season stuff nights that Logan Webb's ever had.
No, I'm with you.
He was brilliant. I mean, he gave up a couple of hits on ground balls. The one to Brett Wisely, like, Brett, make that play. You know what I mean?
Yeah, him and Fitzgerald, man, the ball handling a little bit. A little suspect. But
Wisely's,
you know what? They're learning.
Really cooled off. And like, I'm a little worried about, you know, Fitzgerald had a nice night the night before. But like, I'm worried about how the league adjusts to Fitzgerald. Because, again, like, you go out. This is why I'm encouraged with Ramos. You go out and you do something for a couple weeks, and then the entire scouting community figures out, hey, you know, don't pitch him up and in, or let's try to work him away, or let's start him off with breaking balls, or whatever. And then you have to now adjust to everyone adjusting to you. And I think Brett Wisely's going through it really bad right now, where, you know, he was swinging at everything. And now he's just going to have to learn a little more discipline to play. He did get a big RBI.
Yeah, he got the only RBI of the game, Shasky. It's a good at bat.
Tagging up for first. I apologize. Tagging up at first base. I mean, we just don't have that kind of speed on this team.
No, that was some great athleticism right there, some good speed. And Wisely did get the only RBI of the game. Drew a walk yesterday. He's batting .261. Look, I didn't even know if he was going to be up in the big leagues this year. You know what I'm saying? So everything's a bonus. Seeing Luciano bat 8th kind of bugs me. I'm going to get over it. But his speed and athleticism, it's something you could really utilize at the top of this lineup.
Yes.
You could utilize it at the top of the lineup. So, you know, as Lamont Wade Jr. tries to find his bat, he goes 1-for-4 yesterday. He's scuffling since he's been back from his injury. You just needed to get a win somehow, some way. And credit to Bob Melvin. Credit to Bob Melvin yesterday. Because, you know, we could give him a lot of heat. We've given Bob Melvin a lot of heat for this year, and we've given all the heat to Farhan Zaidi. But Bo Mel, I've scratched my head a few times. And again, I'm looking at the San Diego Padres, and they're having fun left and right, and it seems like the fans love A.J. Preller again, the GM of the Padres. But Bo Mel sticking with Logan Webb last night, saying, this is your game.
So refreshing.
This is your game. Duvall, sit down. You're up. I get it. But this is your game, Logan. And that's what you do. That to me was credit to Bo Mel.
I'm with you.
Because you see a lot of managers today, Shasky, in today's day and age in baseball, they just pull the starter. They don't care.
Well, I have a theory that when you're in the dugout, right, and somebody's dealing, what's the one thing you want to have happen? You want the manager to take that guy out for whatever reason.
Yep.
Whether it's pitch count or going to a different guy or overthinking matchups. When a guy's dealing and is not getting hit hard, okay, because I do think that matters, like the context of not getting barreled up. the last thing you want to do is go to the bullpen in that situation. I don't know if you saw, but they cut to Doval in the ninth inning.
I saw it. I was watching.
And he like looked through the Cyclone fence. And again, I'm just reading body language. I thought to myself, do not go to Camilo Doval in this situation.
No, that would have been, I mean, A's are scrappy, man. They scrappy. They were hacking at the first pitch of that ninth inning.
Yeah,
back, back at bats, like, dude, won't you guys chill for a second? Want to work the count? But that's the A's problem. That's the A's problem. I was happy as hell because I was sitting there thinking, please do not just let Logan Webb try to finish
this.
This is his game, and he needs it for his confidence. So Giants are two games under 500 at 54-56. And good morning to everybody out there getting off the graveyard shift. All the overnight dancers, hopefully you had a great night. All the cops, all the firefighters, all the muni drivers, shout out to our great friends at Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. If you're going to call it to the roast, you better bring it, because if you don't, you will be flushed. Brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. We will get into some football today. I've been dying to get into some football. There's a lot of news in those teams. USA. Steph Curry really struggled yesterday, but Team USA gets a win. NB doesn't play. Tatum starts. Whatever.
You know that guy who's a New York Jets fan who walks around here who does, what is he? What's his exact title?
What's his name? Justin? Justin?
His title? Justin. He's our. He's one of our techs here.
Okay. He comes walking in his New York draw.
Yeah, he's a New York Yankee, LA Laker fan.
And a Jets fan.
And a Jets fan.
Yeah, he's
confused.
Interesting.
There's a lot going on there.
He comes in, he goes, why they paying Curry? He was playing boo-boo. I'll go to Tatum. I go, whoa, hot take around these parts.
Dude, he can't.
And I'm butchering his accent.
He's something else. He talks a little.
888-957-9570. Should Kerr have yanked Steph Curry? Yeah. He said 21 minutes was too many minutes for Curry.
Yeah, well, probably. I mean, they were attacking Curry. That speed from South Sudan, the Serbian guards are getting at Curry. Look, he's 36 years old. Defense, this is why when, you know, we move into basketball season and who starts and who doesn't start, it's going to be very important who you put alongside Stephen Curry. Because defensively, there could be some liabilities there. But, you know, Steph had a bad game. He'll bounce back against Puerto Rico. They'll blast him by 40 or 50, and all will be
Unless Arroyo comes back and plays for them.
But
that was the wasn't that the game, the Puerto Rico
Carlos
game?
Carlos Arroyo?
Many years ago. That broke the dream teams?
No doubt. By the way, we are kind of burying the lead. I know the Giants won, and they won 1-0. And I'm honestly a little exhausted from them. I'm thanking the heavens that they have a day off today. I'm just like, ooh, yes. You know why? With the Hall of Fame game today.
Oh.
And I don't care that Caleb Williams is not playing. I don't care if starters are not playing.
He should play a series.
I agree.
I know it doesn't mean anything. I understand all that. But, like, really? You can't play?
We got football back.
I know. Thank God.
Football's back.
I know.
Texans, Bears. Hall of Fame game.
I do feel like everyone's really excited for the Texans, and I get it. We are a little aggressive on the whole Texans thing.
What do you mean?
I just feel like we've crowned everyone with the Texans. Now, I could be way wrong, and they just have a monster year this
crowned
year.
Crowned them in terms of just to be champs? Or?
I just think we're putting them in the, not Baltimore category, but like automatic playoff team category. And I just look at the AFC. Someone's going to be left out. Like, there are teams like, for example, Dolphins, Chargers, the Texans, the Colts. There are so many teams.
You think the Colts are going to step up in the AFC South?
Well, I mean,
you're a big Shane Steichen fan.
I really like Shane Steichen. Yeah. And he's just, look at the roster. I think they have a really good roster.
I think the Texans are winning that division.
I mean,
Gardner
Minshew was a quarter away from winning it.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. But the Texans got better. At least on paper. They got better on paper.
AFC South, your thoughts. On the real, though, like I do believe that like the hype for the NFL season is just, it's bubbling. It's percolating.
It
and we're going to feel it tonight.
We will.
And I was seeing, like, you know, this morning you sent a text. And B, Tristan Wirfs signs a big deal.
Well, I woke up to that, too. Before we get to that, and Trent Williams, and don't forget, DJ Moore signed a big deal. So what's happening with Brandon Ayuk? I'm just looking at the Texans. Nico Collins gets a year older. Mm-hmm. Stephon Diggs comes out there. Take Dell. And then I look at their defense. Stroud, I think Stroud's a stud. Not like their running back room. I like Damian Pierce. I like Joe Mixon. You know, I love their running back room. Then I love their defense, too. Will Anderson Jr., Danielle Hunter, Christian Harris. They got your boy Azeez Al-Shaair. Their secondary, Derek Stingley, the junior, is really good. Jimmy Ward.
Yeah.
Jimmy Ward, Desmond King, the second. D'Amico Ryans. I think the Texans would. That's my pick to win that division. Okay. I think they're back in the playoffs. But I hear what you're saying. I mean, everybody's hyped up. Like, to a point, we all hype them up. I like their vibe. You like the Titans?
No, I said accept the Titans.
Accept the Titans. Bo Hack Callahan?
I'm out on them. But no, the real deal is that it is going to be very interesting because I do believe the Chicago Bears are in a very unique opportunity here. It reminds me of what the Niners tried to do with Trey Lance, where they had a really good team around a young quarterback on a cost-controlled system. And obviously, he's a rookie, so we've got to see him play. But I think it's going to be an interesting case study. And you contrast that with what Bryce Young's doing with Carolina, where it's the exact opposite. We're removing all of our weapons and putting a young player in a position where he has no hope to succeed.
No hope.
And I legitimately feel bad for him.
And you know, the hope with Chicago, I'm really high on the Bears this year. I don't know why.
You've been on that
defense, when they made the trade for Montez Sweat, that defense is different. And for some reason, down the stretch, I happen to have a lot of Bears games on my TV. Red Zone, whatever it is. Maybe it was betting. They should have swept Detroit.
It was betting.
They should have swept
Maybe
Detroit.
It was betting.
They should have beat Cleveland. You know, they should have beat Detroit. They should have swept them. They played really hard. So now they add all the offense. We'll see about them. It's brought up Tristan Wirfs. Because Trent Williams is holding out a training camp. We're going to talk to Matt Barrows today at 8:30. I believe the Niners have the day off today on practice. They'll hit the practice field again tomorrow, Friday, Sunday. But Tristan Wirfs, who was in the same draft class with Javon Kinlaw, played right tackle, won a Super Bowl with Tom Brady, did move it over to left tackle, just signed a 5-year, $140 million deal. 5 years, $140 million. So now he resets the tackle market. Resets it just completely. And Trent Williams is looking, and he said, boy, I'm sitting pretty here. I'm sitting pretty. And you look at all these tackles who have now gotten paid. Trent Williams is like number 6.
Oh my God, what's he going to do?
What's he going to do?
But here's what I would say to you is that there's clearly the price tag for left tackle for wide receiver has been going up dramatically over the last, let's just say, 90 days, okay? Because it seems like a new guy is signing a big deal every day. And I'm coming to the conclusion, all of the projections, and I'm not mad at anyone. Find a way to sign Trent Williams to whatever makes him happy and sign Brandon Ayuk. I will never again question the Niners having enough money for anything. No, because honestly, it doesn't make sense. I was told they don't even have the money for Brandon Ayuk, and now maybe they do, and maybe they can free up money. I was told that they can't afford anybody, and they're going to have to move off of this guy and that guy, and everything's going to have to come a year earlier. Nobody knows anything, and this cap is so confusing, and it seems like it's a moving target, and that all of these contracts can be manipulated in a way that it rolls over for this year, for next year, the year after. Bonte, if they find a way to make Trent Williams happy, and they find a way to bring Brandon Ayuk in, I mean, not only is Parag a magician, like on the Harry Potter level, isn't Harry Potter a magician, but like...
Wizard.
He's a wizard. Okay, thank you. I cannot question who can go and who. It's just, you know what? If they want him, they can keep him. If they don't want him, then that guy's gone. We're going to talk about it.
I always thought that you could maybe structure the deal in a way where you could defer money on the back end of the contract. You know, I don't think it's a matter of what they want to pay him or what they can pay him. I think they do have an eye on next season saying, boy, did we really want to pay? Because now I think their shift is focused into, well, you know what? Should we pay D'Amador Lenore? Should we pay Traverius Ward? Should you pay Hufanga?
Aaron Banks.
What do you do with Aaron Banks? And is Ricky Pierce all the real deal? And then what do we do with Debo?
Yeah.
So I think they have the money to give Ayuk. It's just a matter that they just don't want to give the money to Ayuk. That's what my belief is.
When you allocate when he gets certain bonuses and where does it hit your books? Does it hit your books in 2024?
Right.
But he sees some of the money in 2025.
Does it hit right away? So
yeah, I don't know.
Maybe we can ask Matt Barrows that. He understands the cap a little. Like the cap is, they change the cap all the time. Like again, that offseason a couple years ago, all these teams, the Rams are over $100 million over the cap, and this and the guy.
Yearly.
And it was just like, wait, how are they signing these guys back? How are they ripping up contracts and giving guys new money and manipulating the salary cap? The Rams have done it for years.
Philly's done it, too.
Philadelphia has done it for years.
Where does Philly find the money?
So, I mean, you know what? I hope they do find the money, and I want these players to get paid. I want Brandon Ayuk to get paid. DJ Moore just got the four-year $110 million deal. Another one. And DJ Moore's a really good player. He produced all those numbers with Justin Fields. You know what I'm saying? With Justin Fields, we know he takes a while to throw the ball. I said Bo Callahan, by the way. Brian Callahan from Tennessee. I said Bo Callahan from draft day. Anyway, Tristan Wirfs. It's just we're on the subject of Trent Williams. We'll get to our nights of sleep because last night sucked. highest paid offensive lineman in per year average. Andrew Thomas, $23.5 million, New York Giants. Laremy Tunsil, Texans, $25 million. Christian Darrisaw, Minnesota Vikings, $26 million per. Penei Sewell, $28 million. Tristan Wirfs, $28.1 million.
Wow.
So we can expect Trent Williams to want his contract ripped up, and Trent's going to say, I need $28.5.
Or $29.
Or $29, or just give me $30.
Oh, my goodness.
Because he's going to finish in the top 10 and the top 100 players.
Is anybody worried about him not being there?
After last year with Nick Bosa?
That's, so you're with me.
Well, I'm not, it's not so much worried about them. And when you take the chance and you decide to hold out, my thought process goes to, okay, that's fine. You're going to show up on game day? Cool. Because people can overrate practice. And yeah. It's obvious that we overrate practice interceptions and we overrate practice touchdowns. And all of a sudden, one guy completes a pass and somebody's like, oh my God, it's happening. They're building a report, whatever. But, When you come into the season after holding out and you decide that, yeah, I'm going to start making excuses. Yeah, I didn't come to training camp, so I'm a little slow here or I'm a little rusty here. No. You don't get to make that excuse. You made the choice to get away from practice and be away from the team. That was your choice. So that's my – Bosa's a great player. And you see why he's so damn good. And the league knows it. We all know it. He's going to be a problem this year. I really believe Nick Bosa's in line for a big season. But my problem was, when I'm looking at the Super Bowl, and you got your hands and your hips on the final possession of regulation for a couple plays, and I see y'all 4th-and-1 just running with your head cut off, because they knew, like, Max Crosby, the fact that Kansas City dared to run that play Bosa's way told me everything I needed to know about Bosa's season. You made all the excuses. I'm ticked off. Now you got to make up for it. Don't want to see that from Trent Williams. He misses camp, and he comes in this season and gives up a couple sacks in the New York Jets and rolls an ankle or whatnot, and he talks about being rusty. That's good. We're going to have a problem with that, Shasky.
You know, it's not that, like, practice interceptions and plays made matter. It's just being at practice matters. And I don't know if you've ever heard Tom Brady address the high school team. I forget which one it was, where he's doing this long soliloquy, and it's all these high school football players, and he's basically saying that, like, hey, look, I know other sports don't believe in practice,
right?
But football is the only sport where you go 6 days, 5 days a week,
yep,
where we're practicing, and one day we play the game.
Yep.
All the other ones, it's reverse, where you probably play more games than you do actual practice, at least at the professional level. And he was saying, like, if you're not maniacally obsessed with at least being ready to go at practice,
yep,
well, then you're never going to get ahead.
Yeah.
And again, it's not necessarily, like, for example, Brock could tinker with all the throws that he thinks he can try to pull off and experiment. And this is where Bosa should be experimenting with different moves,
right,
at practice.
I believe
trying
he
to
is.
Beat people. And,
yeah,
and linemen are going to work on different things. It's not necessarily the who's winning, who's losing, what's happening at practice. It's that you're there at practice.
Well,
and you're trying to hone in your craft.
Well, you need
That's
to be,
what it's about.
Well, just not just being in on practice. Like, Brandon Ayuk right now is just chilling, and I don't know what the rumor is going on with them. But
did you see him dap up?
Yeah, he dapped up Lynch, and he hugged Shanahan. I don't know what's going on with that.
Well, that's
that he's going to be out.
Well, it
was like a goodbye. Was it goodbye to you?
No, I saw it as like we're going to work something out.
Yeah,
I'm interpreting wrong.
He's holding in. So that right there to me tells me that he wants to be here.
Exactly.
And he's trying to work a deal out. So I'm not going to look into a handshake with John Lynch. I saw everybody psychoanalyzing it. It was like, does it mean that he's about to leave and get traded? Or
no,
does it mean that? No, I'm just saying, the internet's going to internet. But to me, And we got a break here in a second. Let's break here in a second. Let's speak to somebody on the other side. We got a break. We'll finish the talks on the other side. Let's talk some 49er football. Giants win 1-0. Good for them. Let's talk some trading cap, though. That's coming up, brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises.
Come on, man. You got Larry June in the building. You listen to the Morning Roast. And we're doing numbers, man. Good job, Morning Roast. Sock it to me.
Larry June, I think he's got an album coming out, dude. I can't keep up with these rappers, man. They got everything coming out here. But the Giants, they win 1-0. Thank the heavens. We don't have to rip them. We're not going to rip them today. We're going to leave it alone. I think our message has been heard loud and clear. Heard from a lot of people yesterday. Even Slater.
I'm actually excited about the Giants.
He goes, they better win tonight. I feel sorry for the Motor Rosa if they don't win, right? And I go, well, have you heard us the last 3 days? He goes, all I needed to see was a couple cuts about you guys ripping Farhan. I got the point.
Some Slates?
Slates saw
Kirk Cousins.
Dude, other people hit me. Was like, Bonte, Doc, you're like crushing Farhan. Do you not like it? I was like, dude, I got no problem with him personally. Just don't think he's a good GM.
Well, there's a lot of slurping going on in sports these days.
Whoa.
I mean, just a lot. I mean, it's just, you know, it's so funny. Like,
no, don't do that.
No,
hold on real quick. Last night, it was a 1-hour, 55-minute game. I just want to get this in before he shred somebody with the machete. The game was completed in 1-hour, 55-minutes. Giants' quickest home game in 19 seasons. Tied for the second quickest home game at Oracle Park.
Look, I can always tell who grew up playing sports and who didn't by just how they view and talk about sports or write about sports. And never has it more been evident than in 2024 with the oversaturation of podcasts and videos and blogs. And everybody's got a platform, which is great, but it also exposes a lot of people. And I just...
But do you think that matters, though? Like, honestly, if somebody played sports or not? Because there's a lot of people who haven't quote-unquote played sports and covered a game, and they cover it at a high level.
I think there's a baseline of understanding that you have to have. So, for example, we talk about this a lot. Like, there are a lot of people I know who really love baseball, but they don't know baseball, okay? And I think there are a lot of people that really love football, right? But they don't know football, right? And there's a deeper learning, and there's a lot that I don't know, and I freely admit that. That's why I find it very fascinating when someone like Baldy comes on, because I learn from him, right? And I truly do learn from him. I couldn't do, you know, whiteboard X's and O's in football. I love football, but my knowledge compared to others that are out there, it's just like minute compared to others. And I just think that it's not necessarily that, did you play? When you have grown up in the culture of sports, there's a way that you view it and you talk about it that is endearing to the common fan and the person that kind of grew up in that same bucket. And I think that sometimes we become so obsessed, and I think this goes right back to the Farhan thing, because there is a core of people who didn't play, which is fine, didn't grow up in the culture, and the only way that they can discuss the sport is through a spreadsheet. And to me, it sucks the soul out of it. You know why baseball was so big on the radio for so many years? Because we would discuss the eighth inning reliever versus batter or the play at second base. And you and I could have 50 different conversations.
The double switch, you know, whatever it was. Why'd he pinch hit? Why'd you take this guy out in the fifth inning? All that stuff.
Right. So, for example, you and I were going crazy about Luciano.
Yeah.
Right. Well, if I'm running the team and I'm the GM, I'm going with the matchups. Well, he's a left-handed batter. He's a right-handed pitcher.
Yep.
And he's got really good OBP, and I'm going to go with him. It's like, well, what about the guy being a 22-year-old young player who just got a base hit in the inning before?
I get it. The human element.
Exactly.
The human element of everything.
And
everything
I do believe that on some level, a lot of the data crap, okay, which is good to support an argument, it's good as a tool. It can't be everywhere. Like, you can't just shut down the conversation, because that's not how sports fans talk.
No doubt. I don't want to go that route, though, because I don't know how writers have grown up. I don't know the background of all these media members all across the country. I don't know if they grew up in sports or immersed in it. I have to figure. This is what I figure, and this is what I guess, because I'll tell you a story. Went back to school at the age of 26, City College, San Francisco. I walked in the journalism department and said, hey, I would like to write about sports and whatnot. Well, do you have any qualifications? Blah, 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 blah. Why is that a drop? That's not a drop. It was in college. And dude was like, do you have any qualifications? And I was like, well, I took a broadcasting class, you know, 4 years ago. I was like, all right, it's fine. Juan Gonzalez, department chair. So probably should have been writing on school paper. I ended up writing on school paper. So we go down to this convention in L.A. And they had, like, news writers and, you know, political writers and sports writers and all that stuff. So they had little events. So the event for the sports writers was, we're going to get you guys all on this big old bus, this big old mega bus, and we're going to ship you out to UCLA to cover a UCLA-Stanford softball game. You're going to take notes. You're going to cover it like a true beat writer.
Okay.
And we're all these college, you know, we're all wet behind the ear. But it's a bunch of geeks on the bus, right?
Yeah.
And then we're going to go do an on-the-spot competition and write a game story, and everybody's going to get an award, first, second place, whoever it is. So it's whatever. But on that bus, and the reason why I'm bringing this up, because I just remember that bus ride to UCLA, and it's just a bunch of sports writers flexing their knowledge. I was like, I'm thinking to myself, boy, there's a bunch of me's on this bus. We're talking boxing. We're talking baseball. Yeah, yeah. Now, there's a couple people who's like, dude, I could not keep up with you guys. This is insane knowledge. Mm-hmm. But that's what I... So, to your point about, hey, were they immersed in the culture of sports growing up? My belief was, on that bus going to a softball game in a journalism convention, there's a bunch of us on this bus, and it's wild out there. There's writers from... And it was just a California convention, so it's Northern California, Southern California, people from Humboldt, people from L.A., San Diego, middle of the sticks, whatever it was. And it's just, it was like, we were all flexing. It was just, oh, no, this and that, and, well, this happened here. And so I'm under the belief that everybody who ends up writing, now, it may not be the case, may not be the case at all, and I could be wrong here, but I just grew up with the belief that, boy, if you're committing to trying to be a journalist, and you're committing to trying to be a sports writer, then you must have grown up and loved it. And whether or not you played it or played it at a high level, you may have loved it, because you just don't want to go write a sports column or cover a team on a beat. You had to love it. So I say all that to say, I have to believe that most sports writers grew up loving sports.
Well, like in sports, there are elites, there are mediocre, and there are terrible. It's the same thing with officials, right? Like, we talk about this. There's the Steph Curry of officials. I don't know where that individual is, but there's also the Brad Wanamaker of officials. And I think the same thing is said for radio hosts, podcasts, writers, journalism, writers.
You got to think that radio hosts, you get into this business, you had to love sports as a kid.
Yes, but I do feel like this is where I would say is, and like every other profession, there hits a point where I do believe that some people become so disconnected from the fandom and from what made them a fan or what made them get into it. And I think that there's almost not a disrespect, but there's a lack of perspective from the consumer who's getting your product. And I just think that we don't give enough credence to not you, not me, not everyone. There's a segment of people, and you see the athletes do this at times. They don't appreciate the fandom as well as they should.
They don't, but it's funny you say that, because I feel like I was in the middle, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I point to a post-game show we did, our first ever post-game show, at the Hilton Hotel, 2019.
Yeah.
Week 3, Pittsburgh Steelers. Niners turn the ball over 5 times. They win the game. Jimmy Garoppolo throws a game-winning touchdown pass to Dante Pettis. Niners are 3-0. I'm losing my mind. And so I thought...
It was great.
I was like, the fandom hit, but the journalists hit. Everything hit. So to your point about, hey, man, you lose perspective of the fandom. What happens in journalism, and when you're coming up in journalism, you have to desensitize yourself to being emotional.
I get that.
And in order to provide fair and objective coverage. Because at the end of the day, that's what we want as fans, right? We don't want some writer just either you slant it one way or the other way. And, you know, you have to take out the emotion at times. And you have to be objective as possible. Now, it helps if you grew up in another market and you end up being placed in another market to cover that team. But if you're in, so like for me, if I grew up in this market loving the 49ers, it's going to be very hard for me to be as objective as, say, I don't know, a Matt Barrels who we have on today, who didn't grow up a 49er fan. I don't know where he grew up. I'm just saying, I'm using a hypothetical. So, like, if Baggerly, for example, who's covered the Giants, he didn't grow up here loving the Giants. He probably grew up, I don't know where he grew up.
Southern California?
Southern California. So, that's Dodger, Angel, Padre country. Yeah. Probably didn't love the Giants, right? So, it's probably easier for him to be objective. Now, you can question whether or not he's been objective or whether he's a shill or whatnot. That's a whole separate argument. But I do think that it's tough. If you grew up in a region and you're writing or you're doing radio, it is going to be tough for you to be objective. So, you know, I think guys who are objective, they get it from the fan point.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they are fans. Like, I think Steiny at the end of the day, I think he's a fan. I saw him courtside at a Warriors game one time. He's clapping.
Steiny wants the team to do that.
Yeah, he's a fan at times, but he's got to keep a perspective. But he knows that as a writer, if the Warriors are doing good, it's good for business.
Did he ever tell you when he was on with Radnich back in the day when I called in?
Yeah, you ripped him.
Well, I called him a buster. This is like 15 years ago.
Yeah, you called him a buster.
And it rattled him for so long because the first time I met him, he was like, you called me a buster.
Yeah.
You know how he holds on to things?
Yeah. That's where I'm kind of like starting. I hold on to things.
But here's what I would say is that, and this is not new. This is not new. Like Ira Miller and Glenn Dickey and Lowell Cohn and all the guys that were the seminal columnists back in the day, they were the equivalent of the radio host, the blogger, the podcaster, the YouTuber, and they were very controversial. Some were homers, some would rip, and I do believe that now, more than ever, it's like we're cartoon characters of the old writers, where I do believe the coverage of certain teams, and this is not exclusive to the Bay Area market, it's everywhere. Being a homer is very lucrative. Being a hater is very lucrative. Yeah. And so it's very difficult for the fan to sift through practice coverage that you're talking about. Like, is Brock Purdy the next Joe Montana at practice? Or is he the next Troy Smith?
But let's also be real, though. You got to understand, the consumer, the fans. There's a lot of fans. There's different level of fans.
No doubt.
There's casuals. There's people who just want to come around when the games get bigger and bigger and bigger. They come around for the playoffs. There's fans who don't watch every single day. So, you know what? Sometimes that's where I'm like, the hell with the fans. I'm one of the biggest homers in this market. Look at all the heat I get from Giants fans on a day-to-day basis.
Well, and I know
look
you care heat, than most.
You know what I'm saying? Look at heat I get from Warrior fans. I freaking love the Warriors. The Warriors have indirectly helped me flourish in my career by being so damn good. So, like, sometimes I hear you when it's like, hey, we don't have any, some journalists don't have the consumer. They don't have any. But sometimes it's just like, you know what? I can write anything, and the consumer's still going to be mad at me.
And that's true.
You know, because fans hold on to things.
But going back to the practice thing. So, like, for example, right now, there's an entire cottage industry of basically explaining to Niner fans, because the fervor is so big. The passion for Niner football is so big. There are fan blog accounts. There's 95.7 The Game. There's the other station, there's six or seven different local news stations, and then how many newspaper outlets and YouTube channels dedicated to breaking down the same exact pass from Brock Purdy at practice. And depending on who you're following, your interpretation of what happened, it's either a 90-yard bomb that was perfectly thrown, slow-motion NFL film style, or literally the worst pass you've ever seen in your life, and the world is falling and coming to an end. And it's very difficult to sift through it and find out what's what.
Everybody's standing at different angles. So I've learned my lesson. I'm not going to go crazy over practice. I'm not going to go over.
I will on certain things.
No, I'm not going to go over.
It depends on what it is.
Because the defense knows the offense. Like, Fred Warner and them know what Shanahan wants to do. You know, so Trey Lance, for example, was training yesterday.
Well, I saw it. Yeah. It wasn't good.
But then I saw some other stuff where they're like, actually, Trey Lance has been good. Yeah, he's got a couple of interviews. So, like, I went both routes, and I got two different angles of Trey Lance. So, anyway, more coming up here on the Rose as we talk more training camp, more football. Matt Barrels, 8:30 here in the morning. Rose brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking, no compromises.
The Morning Roast with Fonte and Shasky.
All right, shout out to YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter. We love you. We love you. We love you. We do. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low rate all along. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer. Matt Barrels, 830 from The Athletic. We're going to get into 49er football here. 49er football is Trent Williams is holding out. Tristan Wirfs signs a new deal with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at left tackle. He's the highest paid left tackle in football. And, you know, what does Big Trent want now? Big Trent wants to get paid.
What do you think he wants?
Big Trent, dude. Big Trent knows. Hey, as a businessman, he's one of one. He knows his worth because Andrew Thomas in New York Giants got $23.5 million. He's going to make that this year. Laremy Tunsil is making $25 million. Christian Darrisaw is making $26 million per. Penei Sewell, $28 million per. Tristan Wirfs, $28.1 million. And right now, Trent Williams is the sixth highest paid left tackle.
Well, how's he going to survive?
You know, well, he's not going to survive.
Jeez, Louise.
How are the Niners going to survive?
How's he going to make it?
Well, how are the Niners going to survive without him? How are they going to survive without him?
They can't.
How are they going to survive without him? So, this segment is sponsored by Go to State Lumber, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLumber.com. Where do we leave off, Shasky?
Well, you kind of teased something that we didn't get a chance to pay off. I do have something serious I want to say to everyone, and I want to use myself as an example.
Oh.
You know, as we get older, there are things that we neglect and we refuse to see. And thank God for significant others and family members. Like, for example, my mom. Don't forget to go to the dentist. Don't forget to do this. Don't forget to do that. It's like, Mom, I got it. Like, even in my 40s, she's still driving me crazy, right? And it's because she loves me, and I'm very blessed to have that relationship and have her in my life, right? I freely acknowledge that. My wife and my mom have been bugging me about this bump that I had on my head. All right, and I got this bump on my head that started to grow. All right, I know, you know, you guys are looking at me like I'm crazy. I'm just being real. This is going real here. What? Not one of those bumps. No, not Scarface.
Just keep.
It's a little growth. Okay.
Just keep going. I wasn't thinking about the white stuff. Trust me.
Okay.
I'm a drug free type of dude, man.
Sure. I'm not this morning. So. Long story short is I had this thing on my head, and when I go get my hair cut, I would get very insecure. It didn't hurt. It was just like a little, like almost like a knob on my head. And like, I got it biopsied, let's say a decade ago when it was a lot smaller. And at the time they had said, oh, it's nothing big. And they had kind of like pushed it out, but whatever, it got bigger. Okay. Because they didn't quote unquote remove the shell. Well, I went in yesterday. I had made an appointment, and I got myself so worked up. They're like, we're going to do local anesthesia. Now, do you know what local anesthesia is?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
What is it?
Yes. Well, it basically kind of numbs you.
Yeah.
It numbs you, so you don't feel anything.
I don't like needles. Like, I know most people don't. Like, I don't at all. I worked myself up. I was so, because I didn't eat anything. I was so coffee riddled before going in there. And shout out to all the good people at Kaiser. My anxiety hit so bad, I was like a child. I was like, I'm scared. I made them cover my eyes with a cloth while he did the injection on the needles and stuff. Long story short, that part didn't hurt at all. Your boy's head was like ripped open. He cut it open, pushed the thing out. It was like the size of a marble. It was, he said, 3/4 to an inch big.
Yeah.
I had a giant, calcified something or other. They think it's 99% non-benign, but I got it removed, and
the Shasky Files. That's what it is. Crispy, I'm stealing that from YouTube, Crispy.
What's that?
Because last week, you start talking about freeways, and I'm just like, all right, where are we going with freeways? And then I start talking about closing gray highways. Like, oh, no, it's totally fine to close gray highway.
I love the gray highway.
Here we go.
Anyway, long story short, I got it removed, and I was floating. I mean, they literally injected
you got it removed
damn near
and
your brain.
And you're literally sent it to the thread.
Well, so I happened Sam to be, Lubman, time
so
out.
So I started to eat lunch, and I was like, what the? Oh, my God. What is that? Literally sent the photo, like three different photos to the thread.
Lubman, did you or did you not tell me you better get a photo of that?
Well, yeah, I thought you would just send it to me. I didn't know you would send it to our whole thread, too. But, I mean, I'm
I could get into that kind of gross stuff. I know other people aren't like me in that department, though.
Anyway, I just want to shout out the doc over at Kaiser.
Oh, my God.
And I am floating this morning. I'm not allowed to take anything super strong because they don't want to thin my blood.
Did Michelle come with you?
No.
Did your family come with you?
This is the best part. They go, you're going to be fine to drive home. This is what they said to me prior. And then afterwards, they're like, it was a little bigger than we thought. And we had to give you a little more. And it's really close to your brain when we numbed you. So just be careful driving home. And your boy was just like, woo! I mean, I should not have been driving. I ordered Chick-fil-A. I lied down. I could barely sleep. Your boy was gassed up. And so I'm like way too many Tylenols this morning. I'm going to need the audience's help. I'm floating. Floating. I had to miss softball last night. I was pissed.
Floating like some of these balls that Brock's throwing at practice.
All right, exactly. I'm not gonna get into that. Because
here's what I would say to older guys. Look, I know we want to show that we're manly, all right, and I know we want to pretend like we're perfect and this and that. On the real though, go get checked. Do it for your significant others. Do it for your family. Do it for the people that you love, because you just never know. Now, I don't know. They say they probably don't think it's anything serious, but you never know. And all I'm saying is, everybody out there, like, just to get real for 1 second, like, we are getting older, all right? And I'm just saying, take care of yourself. If you think that you have something, don't overlook it like I did for a decade. Just go in, get it done. Thank you to the real doctors out there helping people and all their medical assistants. Your boy was like a little baby out there. I was damn near crying. And then afterwards, I was floating.
I love you, man. You're one of a kind.
What? I got a huge scar on the head, and they said it's going to go away, and then the stitches thingies and the glue, it's all going to go away in a couple of days. It's not good.
I'm laughing.
Cool scar in the meantime, though.
Yeah, I also
well,
see
this. I'm worried
text.
About my receding hairline to begin with.
Right? Yeah, you worry too much. You worry way too much.
Maybe hold off on hair.
I mean, you said my anxiety's through the roof. So your anxiety's always through the
it
roof.
It is. And you always know, considering 8,000 people here at the station, and myself included, have taken so much time off. You know, I felt obligated to come in and soldier up today.
Oh, come
and
glad.
As I was walking in, I was like, whoa, like super lightheaded.
The local attendance. Anesthesia game.
I wonder who has good attendance here at the station.
Oh, you have been excellent. You carried me.
I need some time
Spinoni's
off.
Here quite a bit. I mean, yeah, Spinoni's out this week, but like whenever Spinoni's out, I gotta do more. And this is throwing me off this week because he's so rarely out.
And I'll tell him this to his face, even though I love him. You know, Guru gets a bad rap for missing a lot of time on Thursdays, for example.
Is it a bad rap?
Mark
on Thursdays?
Willard's been out a lot.
Oh,
he's
man.
Been out a lot.
I got to read a couple texts here. YouTube and Xfinity Mobile text line, since you went that route.
What?
SF Bay Drummer. We know Shasky's entire medical history for this show. We do. Way off the haircuts. Then we have from, this is 415. Note to Bonte, do not tell secrets to Shasky. He'll send to all company. Well, this is Shasky. We know we got to leave some things away from him. You know, I'm kidding. Tylenol's bad for your liver. High doses. Don't take more than.
Thanks,
not everybody's
coach.
Dairy.
Thanks, coach. I mean,
listen, a lot of doctors in the YouTube chat this morning.
When the doctor's the one who told me what to take.
Well, I know what I do. When I have a big migraine or a headache, I take 3 Tylenols. I don't take 2. I take 3 because I want that bad boy gone in a heartbeat. There's nothing worse than a terrible migraine.
This is like, there's not a lot of like fat up in the head area against the scalp. It was hurting this morning. I woke up at 2 in the morning and I had it was painful.
So is your hair going to grow back in that spot?
Yeah, it's going to take some time, but it'll grow back in that spot. It's like right where I part my hair off to the side.
Man.
Should I show the YouTube audience?
Sure, why not?
I'm a little worried.
You want to show it. You left yourself
open. There's definitely people want to see.
It's kind of hard to see really anyway.
Yeah, you can't really see.
It was purple and green.
If you didn't say anything about it, I wouldn't.
Now, if you want to put it on Twitter or Zoom, hey, go do your thing.
Nah, I'm good.
I could put the lump on Twitter.
I would be careful with that too.
But on the real though, and I know we're gonna get back into sports, and Trent Williams had a serious the guy had like a brain cancer and things like that. Like that was very, very serious. But on the real, like, you know, I know men like to pretend like we're invincible. I'm fine. Like, dude, go get yourself checked out. Is all I'm saying. Just do it for the people that you love in your life. Do it for yourself.
I love this text for the 415. everyone is Cal Ripken Jr. in attendance compared to Guru.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
That's a five.
That's pretty good.
That's a five. Fixing the mobile text
line. That's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
I'm not a system player. I am a system.
Since we're on attendance, and we're talking about attendance, because my attendance in college early on,
I am the system of this show,
was not really good. He is a system here at 95.7 The Game. But attendance, Trent Williams is not in attendance. Obviously, he wants a big deal, and I'm seeing this text. To me, 707. To me, Trent Williams is out of pocket. He was the highest paid when he signed the contract. But again, yesterday's price ain't today's price.
Okay.
And when Trent Williams is playing at a high level as an All Pro, and he's going to be on a top one. What is he going to be in the top 10, top 5, in the top 100? And that means something to a lot of people, especially fans and these players. Well, he's looking at this new money getting thrown around. It's like, oh, hold up. I'm not walking into the season week one against the New York Jets as the sixth highest paid offensive lineman in football. Oh, no. Come on, John Lynch. We got to bump it up. So the Niners just said, hey, look, we know this was happening. We knew we were prepped for this. We were talking about it. Then what the hell is taking so long?
Well, we do this thing in football where it's like, well, you could cut a guy at any time. It's like the Niners were trying to cut Jimmy G for like 3 years.
Yep.
And when the way the contract was structured, because at the time he had leverage, they couldn't. Right? Yep. Remember that? They literally couldn't. They couldn't get rid of the guy. So like there's a happy medium here. I'm not saying that that guys can't get what they think that they're worth, but where do we draw the line? I guess is the question that I keep coming back to. I had a good year. Five other guys signed. Does every year, every contract need to be renegotiated? Because it sure feels like that. Well, it just feels like
if
that.
If you're a big player, by the way, some breaking news in the NBA, after 14 seasons, Gordon Hayward is retiring. Hayward, 2017 NBA All-Star in Utah. Wow. Obviously played for the Jazz, Celtics, Hornets, Thunder, had the gruesome injury day one of his Celtics tenure against the Cleveland Cavaliers where he had that gruesome injury early in that basketball game. Gordon Hayward retiring from the game of basketball. All right, back to football here. Trent wants the bag. Ayuk wants the bag. What's going on with the 49ers here and there? Let's start with this. Let's have some fun. As you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. We're going to talk a lot about Brock Purdy today. And not necessarily his money, but some of his Tom Brady quotes. And in the top 100, Brock Purdy named the 28th best player on the top 100 list. Too high, too low, just right. Now, he's above some big-time names. One being Joe Burrow. Fair? Not fair?
Well, are we basing this off last year?
If we're basing it off last year, I think maybe he's too low.
Well, okay. Like, the top 100, are they saying, based off what you did last year and then going into this year?
Well, the players vote on it. Joe, top 100 is usually based off of the last season, right? Because guys drop out, guys drop in, guys drop out.
So if it's based on last year,
Well, if it's based on last year, then
Burrow was hurt.
If it's based on last year, Brock Purdy's too low on this list.
Yeah, but you have guys for example, Fred Warner, I believe, was 11 on the list. And so it's not just quarterbacks; it's old players.
No, I understand.
So if I was doing the ranking, on the Niners, and I don't know where he's going to end up landing, but CMC's clearly the best player on the Niners. And if you want to say Fred Warner is, 15 slots higher, give or take, then Brock Purdy, fine. If they flip-flop, I'd be fine with that too. People are going to dilute Purdy because he plays with a lot of really good players. I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's real. The fact that he's 28, to me, it's pretty respectful. I think it's pretty respectful. I don't think it's anything to be outraged over.
Well,
do you?
I'm not going to be outraged over it because it's a list voted on by the players. But it is too low. Brock Purdy was one of the 20 best players in all of football last year, in my opinion. One of the 20 best players in football. I don't care what position. You throw all these positions in a pot. Brock Purdy, in my opinion, was top 20.
Well, let's just go to the Niners. One second.
Because Ayuk was 66. Now, you look at the top 20. And or 20 through 11. C.J. Stroud was 20. Roquan Smith, Baltimore, is 19. Justin Jefferson was 18, despite missing a ton of games. Micah Parsons was 17, down from 8 a year ago. Dak Prescott, 16th on this list. Dak Prescott, 16th.
Well, I think
Jalen Hurts, 15th.
Well, that...
George Kittle, 14. CeeDee Lamb, 13. Josh Allen, 12. Fred Warner 11.
So to me, that's like, obviously, we're baking in resume when we're doing these things.
But it's based off
the
last season.
I'm saying the players are going to have, they're going to give Justin Jefferson the benefit of the doubt. And I don't agree with it, but what they're probably saying is like, well, Dak doesn't have an all-pro running back. Dak doesn't have an all-pro tight end. Dak doesn't have an all-pro left tackle. Like, that's, I'm just telling you how players around the league do the evaluations.
I don't know how they do the, I don't know how players do the evaluations.
Dak and Hurts, I don't know how the players.
I'm not going to speak for the players and how they do the evaluations.
Well, they spoke.
They spoke it off of what happened last year. I didn't watch the video montages. I'll do that over the weekend where they do the little 3-minute montages on each player, which I always love. Those are always great. I never forget the top 100 all time list when they went to Randy Moss. And I was like, wow, this guy was great. It's like, yeah, of course he was great. But you look at the videos, they're like, damn, this guy was great. But Purdy was in the top 5 in MVP voting, right? What did he finish, number 3?
Mm-hmm.
Finished number 3 in MVP voting.
Based off the whatever AP or whatever the writers.
Brock Purdy, in my opinion, had a better season than Dak Prescott. I don't care who was surrounding him on the football field. It is what it is. Dallas Cowboys throw the ball a lot more than the 49ers. And you look at Brock Purdy maximizing his pass attempts. Brandon Ayuk maximizing his targets. Christian McCaffrey, of course, maximizing all his touches. But if it's based off last season, how the hell could a player say that Dak had a better year? Or forget Dak. Jalen Hurts is 15th on this list. Jalen Hurts have a better year than Brock Purdy?
No, and he has weapons too.
He has a lot of...
No.
A.J. Brown could arguably be a top 5 wide receiver. Devontae Smith arguably could be a top 10 wide receiver. If Dallas Goedert is healthy, he arguably could be a top 10 tight end. His offensive line, Lane Johnson, Dickerson, Jason Kelce last year, his line was legit. And DeAndre Swift ain't no chump at running back. So Jalen Hurts is 15th. Brock Purdy's 28th. Argument is Brock Purdy's too low.
Well, I think, okay, and again, that's fine. 28 is fine. I have zero issue with it.
I'm just saying.
No,
just,
I know. But here's what I would say to you. When the players do this, I don't think players grind all 17 weeks of film for every single player. Like, it's, hey, did we play you? Am I watching you? And I think that if you think about a couple of the standalone games, not the Sunday night games, because I'm not sure how many guys on Sunday night are fully tapped in.
Oh, these players watch. You see the receiver, Doc? These players are all watching other games.
No, they're watching everything. But they're also celebrating on Sunday nights.
They watch football. And then you got to think a lot of these teams play each other.
But this
for example, not to cut you off, but these players are watching film. They may not play the 49ers, but they may be watching an opponent that plays the 49ers. Yeah. So you know they're sitting there thinking, oh, wow, you see what Purdy was doing to the defense?
But I'm going back to, and what I'm saying is that the standalone game that really sticks out, I think, for a lot of people is probably the game against Baltimore. Because everybody's at home, they're with their families, they're in front of the television. You know, that was a big-time game, right? It was, a lot of people were watching. It's the Baltimore Ravens versus the San Francisco 49ers. And I think a lot of people probably watched the Green Bay game on Saturday night in the playoffs. And so I do believe that that's going to be baked into some of these evaluations.
What about the Cowboys game on Sunday Night Football?
I mean, that was so early in the season, you know. Week 5. Think people forget about it.
I'm
not saying it's right.
Yeah, no, I hear you. But like, all these players watch. These players watch. They're watching.
But don't you also think that players, and this is where, like, players are going to be the last to come around on someone who's a guts and guile, you know, instincts kind of a guy. The physical freaks always amongst players, like, wow, that guy's an absolute monster. Those guys always get elevated.
Maybe. But you hear the players talk about Brock Purdy. So many players have come to Brock Purdy's defense. So many players have come to Brock Purdy's defense saying, this guy's a good quarterback. This guy's a really good quarterback. A ton of players, high-level players, high-profile players. This guy's a good quarterback. So, this list is not the end-all, be-all. It'd be motivation for Brock Purdy. It's fun. The players vote for it, whatever. And I had stopped watching the top 100 for a while because, like, all right, it's a little jaded. I don't want to get too worked up over it. But when I did see the list yesterday, I was like, wow, Jalen Hurts, 15th.
Well,
Dak Prescott, 16th.
Forget the quarterback.
It's just 28th. I just don't think there was 27...
Now, back to
to the Morning Roast with Fonte and Shasky.
All right, shout out to YouTube, Twitch, and Twitter. We love you. We love you. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Matt Barrels, 830 from The Athletic. We're going to get into 49er football here. 49er football is Trent Williams is holding out. Tristan Wirfs signs a new deal with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at left tackle. He's the highest paid left tackle in football. And, you know, what does Big Trent want now? Big Trent wants to get paid.
What do you think he wants?
Big Trent, dude. Big Trent knows. Hey, as a businessman, he's one of one. He knows his worth because Andrew Thomas in New York Giants got $23.5 million. He's going to make that this year. Laremy Tunsil's making $25 million. Christian Darrisaw is making $26 million per. Penei Sewell, $28 million per. Tristan Wirfs, $28.1 million. And right now, Trent Williams is the sixth highest paid left tackle.
Well, how's he going to survive?
You know, well, he's not going to survive.
Jeez Louise.
How are the Niners going to survive?
How's he going to make it?
How are the Niners going to survive without him? How are they going to survive without him?
They can't.
How are they going to survive without him? So, this segment is sponsored by Go to State Lumber, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLumber.com. Where do we leave off, Shasky?
Well, you kind of teased something that we didn't get a chance to pay off. I do have something serious I want to say to everyone, and I want to use myself as an example.
Oh.
You know, as we get older, there are things that we neglect and we refuse to see. And thank God for significant others and family members. Like, for example, my mom. Don't forget to go to the dentist. Don't forget to do this. Don't forget to do that. It's like, Mom, I got it. Like, even in my 40s, she's still driving me crazy, right? And it's because she loves me, and I'm very blessed to have that relationship and have her in my life, right? I freely acknowledge that. My wife and my mom have been bugging me about this bump that I had on my head. All right, and I got this bump on my head that started to grow. All right, I know, you know, you guys are looking at me like I'm crazy. I'm just being real. This is going real here. What? Not one of those bumps. No, not Scarface. It's a little growth. Okay.
I wasn't thinking about the white stuff. Trust me.
Okay.
I'm a drug free type of dude, man.
Sure. I'm not this morning. So, long story short is I had this thing on my head, and when I go get my hair cut, I would get very insecure. It didn't hurt. It was just like a little, like almost like a knob on my head, and like, I got it biopsied, let's say a decade ago when it was a lot smaller. And at the time they had said, oh, it's nothing big. And they had kind of like pushed it out, but whatever. It got bigger, okay, because they didn't, quote unquote, remove the shell. Well, I went in yesterday. I had made an appointment, and I got myself so worked up. They're like, we're going to do local anesthesia. Now, do you know what local anesthesia is?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
What is it?
Yes. Well, it basically kind of numbs you.
Yeah.
It numbs you, so you don't feel anything.
I don't like needles. Like, I know most people don't. Like, I don't at all. I worked myself up. I was so, because I didn't eat anything, I was so coffee riddled before going in there. And shout out to all the good people at Kaiser. My anxiety hit so bad. I was like a child. I was like, I'm scared. I made them cover my eyes with a cloth while he did the injection on the needles and stuff. Long story short, that part didn't hurt at all. Your boy's head was like ripped open. He cut it open, pushed the thing out. It was like the size of a marble. It was, he said, 3/4 to an inch big.
Yeah.
I had a giant, calcified something or other. They think it's 99% non-benign, but I got it removed and
the Shasky files. That's what it is. Crispy, I'm stealing that from YouTube, Crispy.
What's that?
Because last week, you start talking about freeways, and I'm just like, all right, where are we going with freeways? And then I start talking about closing gray highways. Like, oh, no, it's totally fine to close gray highway.
I love the gray highway.
So here we go. Let's keep going.
Anyway, long story short, I got it removed, and I was floating. I mean, they literally injected
you got it removed
damn near
into
your brain.
And you literally sent it to the thread.
Well, so I happened Sam to be, Lubman, time
so
out.
So I started to eat lunch, and I was like, what the, oh my God, what is that? Literally sent the photo, like three different photos to the thread.
Lubman, did you or did you not tell me you better get a photo of that?
Well, yeah, I thought you would just send it to me. I didn't know you would send it to our whole thread too. But I mean, I'm I could get into that kind of gross stuff. I know other people aren't like me in that department, though.
Anyway, I just want to shout out the doc over at Kaiser.
Oh, my God.
And I am floating this morning. I'm not allowed to take anything super strong because they don't want to thin my blood.
Did Michelle come with you?
No.
Did you have family come with you?
This is the best part. They go, you're going to be fine to drive home. This is what they said to me prior. And then afterwards, they're like, it was a little bigger than we thought. And we had to give you a little more. And it's really close to your brain when we numbed you. So just be careful driving home. And your boy was just like, woo! I mean, I should not have been driving. I ordered Chick-fil-A. I lied down. I could barely sleep. Your boy was gassed up. And so I'm like way too many Tylenols this morning. And I'm going to need the audience's help. I'm floating. Floating. I had to miss softball last night. I was pissed.
Floating like some of these balls that Brock's throwing at practice.
All right, exactly. I'm not gonna get into that. Because,
here's what I would say to older guys. Look, I know we want to show that we're manly, all right, and I know we want to pretend like we're perfect and this and that. On the real though, go get checked. Do it for your significant others. Do it for your family. Do it for the people that you love, because you just never know. Now, I don't know. They say they probably don't think it's anything serious, but you never know. And all I'm saying is, everybody out there, like, just to get real for 1 second, like, we are getting older, all right? And I'm just saying, take care of yourself. If you think that you have something, don't overlook it like I did for a decade. Just go in, get it done. Thank you to the real doctors out there helping people and all their medical assistants. Your boy was like a little baby out there. I was damn near crying. And then afterwards, I was floating.
I love you, man. You are one of a kind.
What? I got a huge scar on the head, and they said it's going to go away, and then the stitches thingies and the glue, it's all going to go away in a couple of days. It's not good.
I'm laughing.
Cool, it's scar in the meantime, though.
Yeah, I also see this.
I'm worried about my receding hairline to begin with.
Right? Yeah, you worry too much. You worry way too much.
Maybe hold off on hair.
I mean, you said my anxiety's through the roof. So your anxiety's always through the roof.
It is, and you know, considering 8,000 people here at the station and myself included have taken so much time off, you know, I felt obligated to come in and soldier up today.
Oh,
and as I was walking in, I was like, whoa, like super lightheaded.
The local attendance. Anesthesia game.
I wonder who has good attendance here at the station.
Oh, you have been excellent. You
I need some time.
Spinoni's here quite a bit. I mean, yeah, Spinoni's out this week, but like, whenever Spinoni's out, I gotta do more. And this is throwing me off this week because he's so rarely out.
And I'll tell him this to his face, even though I love him. You know, Guru gets a bad rap for missing a lot of time on Thursdays, for example.
Is it a bad rap?
Mark Willard's been out a lot.
Been
out a lot.
I got to read a couple texts here. YouTube and Xfinity Mobile text line. Since you went that route.
What?
SFA Trevor. We know Shasky's entire medical history for this show. We do. Way off the haircuts. Then we have from, this is 415. Note to Bonte, do not tell secrets to Shasky. He'll send to all company. Well, but this is Shasky. We know we got to leave some things away from him. You know, I'm kidding. Tylenol's bad for your liver. High doses. Don't take more than.
Thanks, coach.
Everybody's
there. Thanks, coach. I mean,
listen, a lot of doctors in the YouTube chat this morning.
When the doctor's the one who told me what to take.
Well, I know what I do. When I have a big migraine or a headache, I take 3 Tylenols. I don't take 2. I take 3 because I want that bad boy gone in a heartbeat. There's nothing worse than a terrible migraine.
This is like, there's not a lot of like fat up in the head area against the scalp. It was hurting this morning. I woke up at 2 in the morning and I had it was painful.
So is your hair going to grow back in that spot?
Yeah, it's going to take some time, but it'll grow back in that spot. It's like right where I part my hair off to the side.
Man.
Should I show the YouTube audience?
Sure, why not?
I'm a little worried.
You want to show it. You left yourself
open. There's definitely people want to see.
It's kind of hard to see anyway.
Yeah, you can't really see.
It was purple and green.
If you didn't say anything about it, I wouldn't.
If you want to put it on Twitter or Zoom, hey, go do your thing.
Nah, I'm good.
I could put the lump on Twitter.
I would be careful with that too.
But on the real though, and I know we're gonna get back into sports, and Trent Williams had a serious, like, I mean, the guy had like a brain cancer and things like that. Like, that was very, very serious. But on the real, like, you know, I know men like to pretend like we're invincible. I'm fine. Like, dude, go get yourself checked out. Is all I'm saying. Just do it for the people that you love in your life. Do it for yourself.
I love this text from the 415. Everyone is Cal Ripken Jr. in attendance compared to Guru.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
That's a five.
That's pretty good.
That's a five. Fixing the mobile text
line. That's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
I'm not a system player. I am a system.
Since we're on attendance and we're talking about attendance, because my attendance in college early on.
I am the system of this show.
Was not really good. He is a system here at 95.7 The Game. But attendance, Trent Williams is not in attendance. Obviously, he wants a big deal, and I'm seeing this text. To me, 707. To me, Trent Williams is out of pocket. He was the highest paid when he signed the contract. But again, yesterday's price ain't today's price.
Okay.
And when Trent Williams is playing at a high level as an All Pro, and he's going to be on a top. What is he going to be in the top 10, top 5, in the top 100? And that means something to a lot of people, especially fans and these players. Well, he's looking at this new money getting thrown around. It's like, oh, hold up. I'm not walking into the season week one against the New York Jets as the sixth highest paid offensive lineman in football. Oh, no. Come on, John Lynch. We got to bump it up. So the Niners just said, hey, look, we know this was happening. We knew we were prepped for this. We were talking about it. Then what the hell is taking so long?
Well, we do this thing in football where it's like, well, you could cut a guy at any time. It's like the Niners were trying to cut Jimmy G for like 3 years.
Yep.
And when the way the contract was structured, because at the time he had leverage, they couldn't. Right? Yep. Remember that? They literally couldn't. They couldn't get rid of the guy. So like there's a happy medium here. I'm not saying that guys can't get what they think that they're worth, but like, where do we draw the line? I guess is the question that I keep coming back to. I had a good year. Five other guys signed. Like, does every year, every contract need to be renegotiated? Because it sure feels like that. Well, it just feels like
if
that.
If you're a big player, by the way, some breaking news in the NBA, after 14 seasons, Gordon Hayward is retiring. Hayward, 2017 NBA All-Star in Utah. Wow. Obviously played for the Jazz, Celtics, Hornets, Thunder, had the gruesome injury day one of his Celtics tenure against the Cleveland Cavaliers where he had that gruesome injury early in that basketball game. Gordon Hayward retiring from the game of basketball. All right, back to football here. Trent wants the bag. Ayuk wants the bag. What's going on with the 49ers here and there? Let's start with this. Let's have some fun. As you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. We're going to talk a lot about Brock Purdy today. And not necessarily his money, but some of his Tom Brady quotes. And in the top 100, Brock Purdy named the 28th best player on the top 100 list. Too high, too low, just right. Now, he's above some big-time names. One being Joe Burrow. Fair? Not fair?
Well, are we basing this off last year?
If we're basing it off last year, I think maybe he's too low.
Well, okay. Like, the top 100, are they saying, like, based off what you did last year and then going into this
year? Well, the players vote on it. Players vote on it. Joe, top 100 is usually based off of the last season, right? Because guys drop out, guys drop in, guys drop out.
So if it's based on last year,
Well, if it's based on last year, then
Burrow's hurt.
If it's based on last year, Brock Purdy's too low on this list.
Yeah, but you have guys like, for example, like Fred Warner, I believe, was 11 on the list. And I mean, so there, it's not just quarterbacks; it's like old players.
No, I understand.
So if I was doing the ranking, like on the Niners, like, and I don't know where he's going to end up landing, but like CMC's clearly the best player on the Niners. And if you want to say Fred Warner is, 15 slots higher, give or take, then Brock Purdy, fine. If they flip-flop, I'd be fine with that too. Like, people are going to dilute Purdy because he plays with a lot of really good players. I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's real. The fact that he's 28, to me, it's pretty respectful. I think it's pretty respectful. I don't think it's anything to be outraged over.
Well,
do you?
I'm not going to be outraged over it because it's a list voted on by the players. But it is too low. Brock Purdy was one of the 20 best players in all of football last year, in my opinion. One of the 20 best players in football. I don't care what position. You throw all these positions in a pot. Brock Purdy, in my opinion, was top 20.
Well, let's just go to the Niners. Hold on one second.
Because Ayuk was 66. Now, you look at the top 20. And or 20 through 11. C.J. Stroud was 20. Roquan Smith, Baltimore, is 19. Justin Jefferson was 18, despite missing a ton of games. Micah Parsons was 17, down from 8 a year ago. Dak Prescott, 16th on this list. Dak Prescott, 16th.
Well, I think
Jalen Hurts, 15th.
Well, that.
George Kittle, 14. CeeDee Lamb, 13. Josh Allen, 12. Fred Warner 11.
So to me, that's like, obviously, we're baking in resume when we're doing these things.
But it's based off of last season.
The players are. I'm saying the players are going to have, like, they're going to give Justin Jefferson the benefit of the doubt. And what? And I don't agree with it, but what they're probably saying is like, well, Dak doesn't have an all-pro running back. Dak doesn't have an all-pro tight end. Dak doesn't have an all-pro left tackle. Like, that's, I'm just telling you how players around the league do the evaluations.
I don't know how they do the, I don't know how players do the evaluations.
Dak and Hurts, I don't know how the players.
I'm not going to speak for the players and how they do the evaluations.
Well, they spoke.
They spoke it off of what happened last year. Dak, I didn't watch the video montages. I'll do that over the weekend where they do the little 3-minute montages on each player, which I always love. Those are always great. I never forget the top 100 all time list when they went to Randy Moss. And I was like, wow, this guy was great. It's like, yeah, of course he was great. But you look at the videos, they're like, damn, this guy was great. But Purdy was in the top 5 in MVP voting, right? What did he finish, number 3?
Mm-hmm.
Finished number 3 in MVP voting.
Based off the, whatever, AP or whatever, the writers.
Brock Purdy, in my opinion, had a better season than Dak Prescott. I don't care who was surrounding him on the football field. It is what it is. Dallas Cowboys throw the ball a lot more than the 49ers. And you look at Brock Purdy maximizing his pass attempts. Brandon Ayuk maximizing his targets. Christian McCaffrey, of course, maximizing all his touches. But if it's based off last season, how the hell could a player say that Dak had a better year? Or forget Dak. Jalen Hurts is 15th on this list. Jalen Hurts have a better year than Brock Purdy?
No, and he has weapons too.
He has a lot of...
No.
A.J. Brown could arguably be a top 5 wide receiver. Devontae Smith arguably could be a top 10 wide receiver. If Dallas Goedert is healthy, he arguably could be a top 10 tight end. His offensive line, Lane Johnson, Dickerson, Jason Kelce last year, his line was legit. And DeAndre Swift ain't no chump at running back. So Jalen Hurts is 15th. Brock Purdy's 28th. My argument is Brock Purdy's too low.
Well, I think, okay, and again, that's fine. 28 is fine. I have zero issue with it.
I'm just saying.
No,
just,
I know. But here's what I would say to you. When the players do this, I don't think players grind all 16 or 17 weeks of film for every single player. Like, it's, hey, did we play you? Am I watching you? And I think that if you think about a couple of the standalone games, not the Sunday night games, because I'm not sure how many guys on Sunday night are fully tapped in.
Oh, these players watch. You see the receiver, Doc? These players are all watching other games.
No, I know.
They're watching everything.
But they're also celebrating on Sunday nights and stuff.
But they watch football. And then you got to think, a lot of these teams play each other.
But this is
so what... Or, for example, not to cut you off, but these players are watching film. They may not play the 49ers, but they may be watching an opponent that plays the 49ers. Yeah. So you know they're sitting there thinking, oh, wow, you see what Purdy was doing to this defense?
But I'm going back to, and what I'm saying is that the standalone game that really sticks out, I think, for a lot of people is probably the game against Baltimore. Because everybody's at home, they're with their families, they're in front of the television. You know, that was a big-time game, right? It was, a lot of people were watching. It's the Baltimore Ravens versus the San Francisco 49ers. And I think a lot of people probably watched the Green Bay game on Saturday night in the playoffs. And so I do believe that that's going to be baked into some of these evaluations.
What about the Cowboys game on Sunday Night Football?
I mean, that was so early in the season, you know.
Week 5.
I think people forget about it.
I'm
not saying it's right.
Yeah, no, I hear you. But like, all these players watch. These players watch. They're watching.
But don't you also think that players, and this is where, like, players are going to be the last to come around on someone who's a guts and guile, you know, instincts kind of a guy. The physical freaks always amongst players, like, wow, that guy's an absolute monster. Those guys always get elevated.
Maybe. But you hear the players talk about Brock Purdy. So many players have come to Brock Purdy's defense. So many players have come to Brock Purdy's defense saying, this guy's a good quarterback. This guy's a really good quarterback. A ton of players, high-level players, high-profile players. This guy's a good quarterback. So, look, this list is not the end-all, be-all. It'd be motivation for Brock Purdy. It's fun. The players vote for it, whatever. And I had stopped watching the top 100 for a while because, like, all right, it's a little jaded. I don't want to get too worked up over it. But when I did see the list yesterday, I was like, wow, Jalen Hurts, 15th.
Well,
Dak Prescott, 16th.
Forget the quarterback.
It's just 28th. I just don't think there was 27. I'm not going to say Brock Purdy's number one, but I do believe Brock Purdy's one of the best 20 players in the league last year.
So Kittle's in front of him and Warner's in front of him.
Yep.
I don't think Kittle's season, even though I know blocking and respect and there's all these, I don't think Kittle's season was better than Purdy's. So I don't think Kittle should be higher than Purdy. If we're just going there,
okay,
right?
Let's go
so
there.
Like, just go in there.
I agree. So I agree. Like
Fred Warner, man.
Fred Warner had a DPOY type season.
He had a monster.
I got no problem with Fred Warner.
To me, they should be closer, right? In the numbers. I don't think that, and I'm not trying to rip Kittle. I thought Kittle had a really good bounce back. Actually, it was a great season. I mean, he had a great season. I thought Purdy had an outstanding season. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? And like, so if we're saying it, like, who would I flip flop? Forget the quarterbacks. I just flip flop Purdy and Kittle.
So you're going to go down to who's the five best players or whatnot of the Niners last year? Well, McCaffrey's won.
Uh huh.
Brock Purdy's in a conversation. No order.
I think Brock's overall season was better than Trent's overall season.
Wow.
And I don't think it's a knock on Trent.
So you believe Brock Purdy's one of the five best matters.
The
one
that sticks out to me is like, you know, the Super Bowl. And that's not fair to Trent. But, like, I'm probably, like, I know I have a left tackle. Oh, my God. I get quarterback is even more important than left tackle to me. And on this team, it just is. I don't know. That's the way I view it. So that's fine. But again, we're splitting hairs. You want to take Trent too?
No, I didn't take Trent too. I just said Trent too.
Yeah,
but I have no particular order.
But I'm not taking Ayuk's season over Purdy.
No.
And Ayuk had a great year.
So you kind of proving my point now.
Yeah,
you're kind of coming around to what my original point was, that Brock Purdy was one of the 20 best players in the NFL last year and should be higher on this list.
Yeah, but once you get into the top 30, there's so many great players.
There are. But when I look at Dak and I look at Jalen Hurts being 15, I'm saying Purdy's not in the top 20.
Well,
CJ Stroud's up there 20.
Well, I don't. Yeah, that's another one. Like, look at CJ Stroud's numbers. So to me, what are they baking into? Well, look, he's playing on the Texans and he's a rookie. And so, like, they're putting more into it than just who was better last year.
Yep. So I'm looking at primetime games. They played the New York Giants Thursday Night Football. Brock Purdy started cooking. They destroyed them. Dallas, they destroyed them. Minnesota was a bad loss.
Two
interceptions.
Was that
Monday Night Football? That was Monday Night Football.
Yeah, that was a bad
Monday Night Football. That was a bad loss.
Yeah.
But you had Thanksgiving at Seattle.
That was a great win.
Great win. Great win.
He was good and, like, really good. It took great in that game.
Philadelphia game.
I mean, he was awesome. But I think a lot of people were like, Debo. But I think Purdy was amazing in that game.
Yeah, Debo was special in that game. So, you know, you got things happening there. But, you know, Purdy, 408, you guys, another thing to stop with this Purdy nonsense. He's a glorified game manager. So,
but he had a great year. Like, okay, you want to say he's a great game manager.
Well, like, we're going to take some calls on the other side.
He had a spectacular season.
So, you know, top 100, is Brock Purdy too high, too low? Get your thoughts on that. We'll play some of the sound he had with Tim Kawakami the other day on the podcast, where he talked about the Brady situation and wasn't necessarily happy about that. And the practice reports. Where are we at with practice reports? I want to ask the fans, how do you consume the practice reports? Who's your go-to reporter when it comes to practice reports? Who is it? Do you trust the information you're gathering? Do you care about the interceptions in practice? Because Purdy threw a lot of interceptions last year at practice and messed around and almost became an MVP of the league. So that's why I'm like, interceptions in practice. It's like,
he might have thrown more interceptions in one practice than he did all season.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. So where are we at with that? That's coming up, brought to you by Safeway.